Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
It is Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN, and what looks like an absolutely gorgeous day out there in Western New York. Still a little bit chilly, but you know what? This is the time of year where the heavy winter coat is too much, and bringing a light jacket isn't going to be enough. So hopefully you've got something right in the middle. Sean Murphy and Phil Kennedy are behind the glass at Master Control. And before we get into the meat and taters of the show, we want you to see Celine Dion. And here's how this works. You enter for your chance to win a pair of tickets to Celine Dion, the courage to a salon. Yes, we're giving away tickets to a salon, actually. Enter for your chance to win a pair of tickets to Celine Dion, the Courage World Tour, Thursday, December 5th at KeyBank Center. Here's how you do it. You go to the contest page at WBEN.com, submit an entry form. You've got until Friday to do it for your chance to win. And speaking of Friday, this Friday is Good Friday, and we're going to have via telephone, David, the leadest authority on the Shroud of Turin, which many believe is the burial shroud of Jesus Christ. We will have with us Barry Schwartz, and that is scheduled for Friday, Holy Friday, and that should start at 3 o'clock, and we should have him for a full hour, maybe a little bit more.
Yeah, I'm not sure how many leading experts there are on the Shroud of Turin, but I could tell you that he is the most respected of all of them.
Oh, he is the guy that is on every single documentary about the Shroud. He took part in the scientific investigation of the Shroud. And, you know, here's a nice Jewish boy who went in extremely skeptical about the Shroud of Turin's veracity, its provenance, if you will, and its holiness, and I think has a totally different take now. So we will have with us Friday, starting at 3, Good Friday, we will have with us Doc, I don't know if he's a PhD or not, but Barry Schwartz, leading expert on the Shroud of Turin. And meanwhile, David, closer to home, we've got a tragic story in the news. And once again, it's a tragic story involving something that I've never understood. This time it's a fraternity from UB, and the young man who was hazed has died from the hazing. They made him do exercises that he just couldn't take.
Yeah, this is a horrible story. The whole fraternity thing, never got it, never was a part of it. But I just don't know, you know, I mean, my whole takeaway is that you've got, first of all, the fact that these colleges, every time, this happens all the time. It's not that, you know, we're taking anything. This family is dealing with a loss. You know, the kid was sick. He was made to do a bunch of exercises and succumbed and died. But here's the thing. Why do the colleges always act like they're shocked that these things are going on? They're, you know, it used to be the drinking to excess. Remember, there was the kid over at Canisius
that, you know,
drank himself to death. And then you've got a woman in, and not that this is connected, but the Fordham woman who was trying to get a photo on Instagram by climbing on a tower at Fordham University. She falls like, I don't know, 50 feet to her death. And she's trying to take a photo. But again, it was something that all these sorority sisters do as a rite of passage. They climb up this tower and take a photo of New York City or whatever they do. And, you know, she dies. Now everyone's like, oh, this has to stop. Come on.
And I mean, it never does.
Look, then get rid of Greek life altogether, if that's what the situation is. Some people are able to do it responsibly. Some are not. But the hand-wringing after someone dies or someone gets hurt, to me, it's like there's no way.
Predictable and cliche.
Yeah. I don't even know what. Nope. We just heard a story of a guy when he was in college. Love the fraternity life, you know, Phi Beta Delta, whatever he was. And then, you know, he's a 50-year-old man. He has a son, daughter. They go to college. And he's like, nope, you won't pledge. You won't be a part of that life. You know, I went through it. I wouldn't want my daughter in it. I wouldn't want my son in it. Well, then why are we doing it? I mean, in the PC culture where everyone's, you know, deciding that we're too sensitive to handle any of this, what's the deal? There's either zero tolerance or you know, put someone, an adult, in charge to make sure none of this crazy stuff is going on. I mean, at least they're not stories of rape and alcohol and overdoses.
Right.
But now it's hazing and teasing and everything else. It just, of all the things in 2019 that the fun police have stopped, I don't know how Greek life still continues.
Well, the house of this particular fraternity on Custer looks like a dump from the outside. I mean, I look at the pictures that we put up at WBEN.com. I don't know that I'd want my kids to live there. And I honestly, David, for the life of me, do not understand the allure of so-called Greek life. One of the reasons being, we're not in Greece. The other one is, at this point in 2019, with access to all kind of social media and all kinds of diversions and distractions, does a sorority or a fraternity have any relevance whatsoever? If you were in a sorority or a fraternity and want to tell us what you had to do in order to get in, and I've heard some really hot stories about sorority rites of initiation, wow. But the fraternities tend to be alcohol-based or exercise-based. What in the world are these sororities and fraternities all about? And I will just tell you that I went to UB as a commuting student. I had a full-time job. I didn't have a lot of time to spend at UB for anything except going to classes. So I know about as much now about sororities and fraternities as I did when I was actually attending college and had absolutely zero interest in taking part in so-called Greek life. I did not understand it then. I do not understand the attraction or appeal now, all these years later.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I had plenty of time. No one asked me. No one wanted me. But that still, though, I don't get it. I really don't. People get all worked up about it. They remember their fraternity and their sorority. They hang out with the people to this day. They do the handshake. They chest bump. They sing the songs or whatever. And that's great. You want to be a part of your... remember the one in Yale that everyone tried
Skull
to,
and Bones?
Yeah, they tried to make that part of the Illuminati that... You know, they've had so many presidents and senators that were a part of that. They all took a blood oath.
Does make you wonder.
They all took a blood oath and sacrificed a virgin or whatever they did. But again, these of all the things that you would think would go away with the political correct nature, everyone seems to be zombies. On college universities, you can't talk about, you know, have a debate about abortion, you'll be thrown out of school. Talk about voting for a certain candidate, they don't want to hear you, but yet at night you're able to do keg stands and carry a Bing Cherry across the floor.
I mean, right.
It doesn't make any sense.
And the what seems to be, and maybe I'm stupid on this, I'm certainly ignorant about it, but, doing nonstop exercises or doing things, during the week when you are supposed to earn your way into a fraternity or a sorority, I don't understand it, and I need people in our audience who were parts of fraternities or sororities to put us in the picture. What was the appeal then? Do you even stay in contact with anybody that you thought would be a lifelong friend? Are sororities and fraternities overrated in terms of their social outreach, in terms of your ability to have friends, not just when you're in college, but after you graduate from college? Maybe you're like I am, and you had no interest whatsoever in joining a fraternity. The phone number on News Radio 930 WBEN is 803-0930. That's 803-0930. Star 930 is what you call on the cell phone, and the toll-free number is 1-800-616-WBEN. 803-0930, Star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And, you know, if you want to tell us what some of the things you had to do were to get into a fraternity or sorority, believe me, I'm all ears. I mean, I've heard stories, again, mostly from sororities, and I'm like, whoa, damn. And I've heard stories from, fraternities that make me want to throw up.
Well, I mean, first of all, I think anyone who was in the military, police academy, or fighter academy has been made to do exercises when they didn't want to, or they didn't feel up to it. I mean, that's not exactly... a torture claim that you'd hear at Gitmo.
Nothing like doing 100 sit-ups with a belly full of gas from the taco stand the night before.
Well, my point is that, you know, again, this is a horrible tragedy. I just don't know why, you know, again, anytime anyone dies that's connected to a sorority or a fraternity, you're going to hear this show. It's like, you know, if a trick-or-treater gets hit by a truck, all of a sudden, you know, we're all talking about the safety of Halloween door-to-door trick-or-treating. But again, I just don't know where the colleges get off on this whole idea that, you know, well, we're going to look into this, we're going to do whatever. If there's anything that to me is completely outdated and has not evolved with this Nerf world that the PC people at colleges have created, it's fraternities and sororities. I mean, for real?
Okay, so are we asking the question, should colleges and universities ban sororities and fraternities? Is that one of our questions that's in the mix?
Well, I would assume that, that this has already been brought up a million times. I mean, how can you possibly think that with all of the, I mean, look, with the Kavanaugh situation, you heard about why are we allowing this? Certainly, the drinking and the sexcapades doesn't happen in 2019 in fraternities and sororities, right?
I'm going with it probably does, David.
Okay, so now we have all these pledges and what they do and the words they use and the names they're called and the fat shaming and the gay shaming and all the other nonsense. A football team takes a freshman and, you know, whatever happens there, we eliminate it. We ban the football season. And yet major universities across America continue to have these organizations.
And then, of course, there's the other issue of how will the investigators be able to prove a criminal offense has taken place? I mean, they're going to have to obviously really investigate this. I mean, what were the terms of admission, if you will, into the fraternity? What exactly did he have to do in terms of exercise? What should somebody reasonably have put an end to it, given signs given off by the kid who tragically died today? I mean, they're going to have to decide whether any criminality is attached to this kid's death or if it's just decided that it was natural causes, that he did a little bit too much and was sick when he was doing it.
Well, just the idea that the mayor of Buffalo is commenting on this to me just shows that we've really lost our, you know, there's a lot going on in the world right now, and this is a horrible thing. And I'm just, what can you do? You're going to legislate fraternities? You're going to, you know, pass a law that creates, just get rid of, if the no fun police truly are in power in New York State, where, you know, a guy falls asleep at the wheel, runs over an innocent kid, and all of a sudden now we have a 30-mile-an-hour expressway because of that situation, then what are you going to do, oh, elected official in New York State, to make sure this never happens again?
And you also have to wonder, David, given the ribaldry, do you like that? Given the ribaldry that takes place for admission into a sorority or fraternity, I mean, you got to think about all the skeletons that are out there with the politicians who are considering going into the field of politics or who are already in politics, who have to wonder what evidence is there to prove that they did things that they're not particularly proud of today and that would be highly frowned upon in 2019.
I'm sure they're out there.
Wonder how many sleepless nights they have.
And on Polaroid, I'm sure, you know.
The good old Polaroid. For those who don't know, the Polaroid pictures were the pictures that everybody took their first picture of their manhood with, because you didn't have to send the film off to a developer. It basically was a piece of paper that would... Do you know what a Polaroid is, Phil? You do know? Because, seriously, there are people out there listening who don't understand or who maybe have never heard of a Polaroid, which you took it out of the camera and it developed itself. It usually took about 5 minutes or so for the image to appear, but it was quite innovative for its time. And believe it or not, guys, there was a time when we didn't have 24/7 access to high-definition video, high-definition photos, and you had to use, if you wanted instant results, you had to use a Polaroid camera. We had one.
Well, they're still out there, and kids are using them now like they're relics.
But you know what, though? The like vinyl records?
You're right.
But, you know, let's face it, the picture quality of a Polaroid kind of sucks. I mean, it's not exactly high def.
No, it certainly wasn't. And the other thing was the shaking and all the different things you had to do to make sure it didn't blur and get all crazy. But here's the thing. I really don't know where this goes. You take one tragedy and you have to use it for political purposes. You have to exploit it somehow. We can't let this kid die in vain. The family, everything. There's a family involved and they just lost their kid. And I'm sure, because it's untimely, because this is a young kid, someone has to pay. So whose life are we going to ruin, or whose lives are we going to ruin because someone did something stupid? And again, it's not an alcohol. Well, it could have been other people drinking.
The victim had no alcohol and no drugs in his system.
But it's, whether or not someone telling them to go exercise, whatever. But there's this chain of command in fraternities where when you're pledging, you're now a plebe and you do as you're told because you want to be a sense of belonging. But you're not drinking, you're not doing drugs, you're not raping, you're not, doing anything that would be looked at as, whatever they accuse you of doing in a fraternity or a sorority. And now you're making a guy do exercises and he drops dead. It's like, okay, so what do we have left? Coloring competitions, aggressive Pictionary. What do you have left to pledge?
Trivial Pursuits.
Why are we doing it?
I would just ask the question, why sororities, why fraternity, of what use are they? I never have understood it, and hopefully our audience will put us in the picture on News Radio 930 WBEN. The phone number is 803-0930, *930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. The young man who was hospitalized after a hazing incident at a UB fraternity tragically has died, and basically he wasn't feeling well, he was ill, and somebody made him do a whole bunch of exercises that his body obviously couldn't take. And I think it's safe to say that in addition to any criminal investigation and criminal charges, which may not be filed in this situation, we can also look toward some kind of a civil action being brought by the family of the young man who died. I mean, somebody will have to be held accountable.
Of course. That's what, that's what it's always about. It's always about accountability and money and everything else. None of that brings anyone back. And do we even know if it curbs behavior in the future? Well, these kids don't care about liability. You're 19. You're not even legal to drink. You're out there guzzling beers, hanging out with your hippie friends. What are you supposed to do?
The phone number is 803-0930, *930, 1-800-616-WBEN.
Just thought I'd sound like I was 70 years old today. That's what I'm going for.
No, you know what? I don't think you have to sound like you're 70 or 80 years old, because even in my 20s, in my late teens when I started at UB, I thought fraternities and sororities were stupid. I didn't want anything to do with any fraternity. I couldn't have cared less. Whenever anybody would talk about Greek life, I would always say the same two things every single time. One of them was, we're not in Greece. The other one, I really can't repeat on the radio. It involves something that obviously would involve some concupiscence. So I will stay away from that particular argument. But when I was a lot younger, I thought they were stupid. And now that I'm older, I think they're even stupider.
Well, again, a lot of people are bitter because they weren't a part of it, or their girlfriend was stolen by someone on the football team or the frat or whatever it was. But again, I would hear stories in New Hampshire. Those guys were insane. I mean, they were absolutely the amount of alcohol, and people were, going with IVs of charcoal and, overdosing on booze. Flatlining from vodka. It was just mindless and stupid, but whatever, that's what they were into, and it was cool to do it if you were in it, but I don't know.
I mean, are you really, here's one of the questions too, are you really lifelong friends with people in your sorority or fraternity? I mean, when's the last time you really got together with them? When's the last time you had a meaningful conversation? Are they still even your friends, maybe on Facebook, but are they still people you can call on to help you hide a body? For example, that came up on our advice show. It is Bowerly and Bellavia, and a sad story to find out that Sebastian Serafin Bazan, the UB student who was hospitalized after an apparent hazing incident, has died. And he reportedly was forced to do strenuous exercises last week at the Sigma Pi fraternity house on Custer. He was found outside the frat house not far from the South campus early Friday morning. He was a freshman, reportedly recovering from the flu, no drugs or alcohol in his system. And prior to his death, the president or the people at UB announced the suspension of all Greek life activities on the campus. Also, a committee was formed. They always form committees when something like this happens, and nothing ever changes, to review the policies of all sororities and fraternities on the campus, and will come up with a recommendation by this fall. So that is the situation at UB, a tragic situation. And joining us right now in studio, we did not know this about Sean. We're always learning new things about Sean Murphy. Sean is actually a counselor at the Sigma Phi Epsilon fraternity at SUNY Fredonia. Is that correct?
Yep. I've been doing it for about a year and a half now, ever since I graduated.
So what does that mean, a counselor at the fraternity?
So I basically oversee the undergraduate chapters. Undergraduate chapter at Fredonia, making sure they're living up to our standards, whether it be
what are those standards? What do you mean they're living up to your standards? Like in the sense of their behavior and their consumption of alcohol?
Yes, behavior, academics, living up to our, because to be a member there, you have to have a minimum of a 2.8 GPA.
2.8?
Yeah, that's the national policy of SIGEP.
So no stupid people in that frat, right?
Some slip through.
ouch.
That happens from time to time.
So you oversee how they're doing things at the Sigma Phi Epsilon fraternity, and do you do your own investigating? Do you make unannounced visits, or do people reach out to you to report some unsavory activities? How does that work?
So we have a whole alumni board comprised of like 20 alumni throughout the years from when it was first chartered in 1980 to present day, as well as a national board. There's these people called regional directors from all over the state that make monthly visits to make sure that each chapter is running properly to their standards.
First of all, this is the longest conversation I've ever had in my life with Sean. That's crazy.
This is true.
That's number one.
I'm kind of shocked he speaks.
I know. That's number one. Second, though, here's the thing. What is the power that you have if they are doing something? Let's say there's a drinking incident in the fraternity, right? It's someone overdosed. There's an allegation of some misconduct. What do you have the ability to do, in the position that you hold?
I have to report it immediately to Nationals, which is in Richmond, Virginia. So I have to report it.
Do you also have to report it to the school administrators?
Yes, I have to report it to the activities. I forgot what the activities council at the school. The dean of student life, I have to report it to.
And what's the recourse? What could happen to these kids?
It could be anything like we're seeing now at UB, like a federal investigation, local investigation. It all comes down to the school, yeah.
So this apparatus, the reason why you have a position is because people are trying to go out of their way to make sure that none of these things could possibly happen.
Yeah.
Sexual assaults or alcohol-related drugs, things like that.
SIGEP was the first national fraternity in the 80s even to abolish hazing with the Balanced Man Program. But
it's called the Balanced Man Program?
Yeah, it wasn't until 2015 where it was voted that all chapters had to go Balanced Man.
And I went to the Balanced Man Festival once. It was wild.
The Balanced Man. That's funny. No, so, but anyway, this is something, and where do the funds come for this? Is this coming out of?
This comes from dues. Each brother pays about $300 per brother, and there's like 40 members.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Is that every year?
Yeah.
You're paying $300 a person just to be in a fraternity?
Yeah.
Now, how do you make sure that I looked at these pictures of this house that these frat kids lived in? The thing looked horrible.
Looks like a dump.
No, it really does. How do you make sure that they're living in appropriate conditions?
And we actually have a chapter house in Fredonia. By zoning laws, in the town of Dunkirk, we have one. But when I went to school there, we had no houses, like major houses, but they were a lot nicer than the one at UB.
And so, like, do you have to inspect those too and make sure they're up to code? Or
the one we have now, because it's an actual legitimate house.
So these guys have cash then. I mean, if you have 40 frat members that are paying $300 a year, and this is all over the country.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, there are going to be expenses. The expenses have to be met. I mean, you got to pay property taxes, I'm sure, in any structure you own. I don't think you get an exemption because you're a fraternity.
No, there's also, in that dues is also member insurance in case, not hazing situation, but if someone were to get hurt or...
Someone gets hurt in a game of ping pong or something.
Yeah.
Sean Murphy is a counselor at the Sigma Phi Epsilon fraternity at SUNY Fredonia, and we brought him in to give us a little more insight into fraternities because...
Our own Murphy.
I know. Honestly, I always thought fraternities and sororities were kind of stupid, and if they were ever relevant, I didn't see the relevance in them back in the early 1980s, and to be honest with you, I don't, even though I like Sean a lot. So how do you determine... The difference between hazing, a word that you have used two or three times, what's the difference between hazing and making sure that a pledge is dedicated enough to the fraternity to be admitted to full membership? I mean, what is hazing? What isn't hazing?
Nowadays, especially in Sig Ep's definition, the hazing can be anything. It could even be too much studying or... It's not studying enough. It's so broad.
So let's do this. Let's role play here, right? Now, you're Sean Murphy in your role, and my name is David, and I just tried to put a sparkler in one of my frat brother's ears, right? And I got busted. How do you approach me and say that I'm in trouble? Is there like a Miranda right that you read, or do you just say, hey, we got a report, you should kick in a door? What do you do?
It'll be brought to a standards board hearing with the executive board of the fraternity, and if depending on how serious it is, it could be brought to the alumni board's
attention. But you have to tell the fraternity person in front of the entire group, or do you take them aside? I mean, what's the zero tolerance policy that you let these kids know that this is serious?
I would probably attend a chapter meeting that they have and set up a whole meeting, yeah.
So can you explain to us...
I was trying to role play.
Well, and we'll work on your role playing a little bit later on. I'll try to play a role. What are some of the things specifically that one must do in order to be admitted as a member of Sigma Phi Epsilon?
Just learn our chapter's history and become a balanced man by going to class.
And that chapter history goes back to 1980.
Yeah.
So
I've gone through some changes.
People do not have to do PT.
No.
People do not have to drink.
No.
People do not have to kiss another fraternity brother.
No.
That sounds like the most boring fraternity in the universe.
I mean, I still had fun in school.
What did you have fun doing? Calculating your taxes? What was fun for you? I mean, seriously, like you grade point average of 2.8, which in some schools makes you the valedictorian.
Mm.
I mean, let's be honest, 2.8 is pretty impressive. Most people that join frats and sororities aren't pulling 2.8s.
No.
They're doing keg stands, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So give us an example. Is there any activity or anything that a pledge must do? Other than what you just mentioned, the studying, not studying enough, not making sure not to study too much?
No, we do a lot. We're preparing you for the real world, pretty much, instead of all the other nonsense that some Greek organizations do. Like, we're preparing you for philanthropy, getting a job after college, anything, even way after college.
You prepare them for death.
Yeah. Well, Sean Murphy is a counselor for the Sigma Phi Epsilon fraternity at SUNY Fredonia. So explain to those of us who have always thought that fraternities and sororities were kind of dopey, explain why I'm wrong.
And by the way, I still agree after hearing this presentation. I'm still with you on that one, Tom. Go ahead.
It could be used as a network thing. I know a lot of kids that I went to school with that moved out to Buffalo or even further places got interviews from people that were in the chapter year way ahead of us.
So. That's a good point. I mean, how do you recognize that? So, do you have like a handshake or do you do like a secret thing?
We do have a handshake, but
is it really?
Yeah.
And so do you, when you run into a brother outside of your circle, do you do the handshake with him?
Every depends who it is, but
are there a series of questions? Are there people that, like, is there stolen valor amongst fraternities where people claim to be from a frat but that are, and you have to like ask them a series of questions?
I'm sure there is somewhere. I haven't run into it yet, so.
Because you'd be like, you know, who was the founder back in 1980?
So networking and making connections, and what you're saying is that down the line in the business world, a member of your fraternity, Sigma Phi Epsilon, puts it on his resume. The resume crosses the CEO's desk or the hiring person's desk, and they're going to stand out if they are a fellow fraternity member. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Just like it's not what you know, it's whom you know?
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know this, but Greg Reed is actually a member of that fraternity. That's how he got this job.
I thought he was a member of Skull and Bones. I'm just saying.
The general manager at Entercom Buffalo actually has. No, so that might be something, though, that you would, if you ran into someone that worked at the St. Louis radio station, right? And you're like, oh, you were there at the time I was there. Well, then, you know, go ahead. Why don't you come in for this internship?
Yeah, you know, I can absolutely see a value in that.
Networking,
you
know,
absolutely. Networking, that's a good thing. And how about some of the other reasons why a fraternity is a good idea?
We did a lot of community service, like Mayor Brown said has said before about all the service we've done this past year. We've always done Ball for Bucks when I graduated. We did a ball for bucks.
What is that?
Balled for bucks.
Oh, balled for bucks.
I'm sorry. I thought you cried for money.
For Roswell. And this past year, they raised $6,000. Every Christmas, we'd run a tree on foot to Buffalo from the Fredonia campus.
Wait, you run a tree on foot? What do you mean?
Yeah, we'd do like a relay style, each running a tree, Christmas tree for family need in Buffalo every Christmas time. And
wow.
Raise money for that.
That's pretty cool. So, I mean, so you're doing things for the community, and you're obviously a good man, and you're trying to make sure that the people in your fraternity are also up to a standard.
We have to break, as you well know, Sean, but you're welcome to hang out with us and wrap this bad boy up. And Sean Murphy, the guy with whom we work every day, happens to be, and we did not know this before today, counselor at the Sigma Phi Epsilon fraternity at SUNY Fredonia. Sean, my final question to you is, explain, please, the biggest misconception ignorant people like myself have about fraternities and sororities, because I never have seen their relevance. I never wanted to be part of one, and it just seemed kind of goofy to me.
A lot of people think it's just buying friends, which is not the case at all. I mentioned before how we have to pay chapter dues. That's how, look at it like union dues. You got to pay to keep certain things going.
So that is the biggest misconception.
And that we just do nothing but party.
It sounds like you do nothing and you don't party. I mean, no, you know what I'm saying? Like, it sounds like it's the opposite of what you would consider.
From the outside.
Yeah, no, but what I'm saying is that it's not like you guys are a bunch of, you know, you're not going around stealing underwear. Everything that we've learned from the movies with fraternities, you guys are taking a little bit more seriously.
Yeah.
And it's much more, you know, trying to be academic and prepare for life.
Yeah, it is a national fraternity. It was founded in Virginia, like I said, in 1901. And in 2015 is when they abolished hazing completely, because there are still chapters out there that didn't follow the program. And 2 years later, they completely abolished alcohol from chapter houses, even if you were 21.
What year did they abolish fun? What was that?
Wow. Well, Sean Murphy, thank you so much for being with us in studio on WBEN. Many happy years ahead helping out with Sigma Phi Epsilon at SUNY Fredonia.
Well done.
Thank you.
Yes, Sean, well done. Murphy. Sean Murphy, he speaks.
No, very well, and I appreciate your time, Sean.
Fine presentation, and I feel somewhat more educated than I did heading into the show.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.